This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face to Face Games.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for Magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, buttfuckers? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Raging Gumby.
And I'm Kristen Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we are a crew without a sail, or a ship without a mast, or other nautically related things for no good reason that has to do with us not really having a rhyme or reason this week. Because obviously my friends here are too busy doing whatever people do in the crest, like getting new jobs, like Kevin, or going to the Bay Area this weekend to do a great many things, like David, or if you're like Maddie, you're just an asshole who went to the Jays game and left us high and dry.
Hey, guys, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to make the cast. I got free box seats to the game, so.
I can't fault him for it, definitely.
Well, I mean, I can fault him for, like, the subtle rub-ins. Like, the free box seats.
He tried to appeal to us at, like, 5 in the morning our time, where it's like, I'm in a tough spot here. Kind of forced to go to the Jays game. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like,
yeah,
shut up.
That's what you got to wake up to this morning, Tristan. That was kind of fucked up. Like, to me, it's just like, I guess Maddie's not going to be here. To you, that's just like putting the digs in. It's like, good morning, cocksucker. It's like him putting his balls in your coffee.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess in a sports way, it's surprisingly similar.
That's not as bad as most people think, because I'm pretty sure that Canadians' balls taste like maple syrup. So,
which is a delight.
Yeah. It's nice,
ladies,
nice little flavor to the
coffee. I understand, yeah.
Just start having Canadians fucking season our coffee for us? Is that?
Yeah, just give a little double dip, you're all good to go.
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. Well, I mean, I guess that's a thing you could do.
You learn something new every day.
Personally, I'd rather just put, a little bit of sugar in my coffee instead of a man's balls, but
maple's like liquid sugar, all right?
Yeah, but I'm not dipping my balls in sugar and then putting them in my coffee either.
And those, balls on,
and those
like
are
balls
my,
on
those are my balls.
You
my
like balls
balls.
On
because it's your dog.
It's not gay because it's your dog.
Oh, so yeah, we got lots of nothing to talk about.
No, hey, you got a new job, right?
Yes, I got a new job. Finally, everything got rolling with that. I start at the railroad on November 9th. So, yeah, fucking shit's on.
He's going to have more time and money to play Magic and yet still not play Magic.
Unbelievable. Actually, entirely believable.
No, I'm getting the fire going a little bit. Like, I got all excited at building fucking new modern deck that I'm excited about, and that fucking, I haven't got to play much Magic lately because things have been a little hectic trying to get shit done, but I'm excited about it. I'm not like falling off completely. I do want to get into playing some Magic. I just, haven't had much of a chance lately, but I am excited about it. So hopefully in the next couple weeks we'll have some, obviously David's leaving town this weekend. So if we get any Magic stories for me, it's going to be the random casual fucking Magic stories, next week. Still it'll be fun.
This time next week we'll be inundated with Pro Tour coverage, which I'm sure we'll all have spectated thoroughly, especially David, because have been in the area. No, but
and you know how prone I am to watching coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's on coverage more than he watches it. which is legit as fuck, but still.
But I haven't been on coverage that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's the last time we were on, since we had a little bit of a hiatus last week with, again, people busy doing shit. We had talked about doing, what was Standard going to look like. Again, the most vocal person about this isn't here. The one who is seemingly gives the most shit about how bad or not good Standard is.
Bad or not good.
Bad and or not good.
Right. It's very narrow and diverse at the same time, Maddie's feelings about Standard.
I am proud to say, although we didn't hit, you know, a home run on changing the format in the first week, it felt like that second week of Star City results definitely shows that there are more creatures in the format other than just Siege Rhino. Unfortunately, most of them appear to be Jace and Mantis Rider and Den Protector and his buddy the Raptor and things like that. But I'm happy with
that. Creatures that have already previously existed in Standard and will continue to exist in Standard.
Yes. Although this, you know, usually when there's a rotation like this, a lot of the synergies of the prior blocks kind of make up the sets. And I think that this time around, it's more just like the raw power level of cards coming out of Khan's block versus...
Yeah, that generally happens at the beginning of a new Standard. Like, you more rely on, like, raw power and curving out or aggression. And then as the decks, you know, as people get to experiment and brew more, then you really start seeing more tuned, synergistic lists start coming out.
No, I agree. It just happened to be cards from Khan's block this time. Because usually when there's a change of this, you know, the fall set changeover, synergies of the prior block are usually cohesive enough than the outlier of the one set. But this time around, there's not a whole lot of synergistic strategies. It is just kind of raw power leveling cards and better mana. Give it up for Esper Dragons. I think that is still very much a real deck. But I don't even remember what side of the bet I was on for that. Who knows?
You were on the losing side of that bet.
Oh, I can't even
remember. We both said that...
Did we say the under on two or something, or 1.5?
No, we just said there wasn't going to be an Esper control list in the top eight.
Oh, okay.
We just said that's not going to happen, and we both were wrong. So,
wow. Okay, well, I stand by me from 2 weeks ago, and with David and our solidarity there. But, no, as far as mana goes, I definitely think that deck is very strong. Dragons are cards to be played, but... Really, Jace, $80 price tag, is that...
So stoked about that. I have so many Jaces. God.
I just have a couple. Thankfully, one of them is the San Diego black one, which is now worth the price of the set I paid for the entire box. So that was...
How much is it worth?
I think they're worth like $200 right now.
Oh, God, that's so good. I'm selling all of mine. I don't give a fuck. All of my Jaces are sold.
I sold them all.
I think I have like 7 normal and then 2 or 3 of the SDC ones. So that's good for me.
It's good for most of us. I mean, I definitely missed a few opportunities to open Jace's over the summer because I was not drafting this set as much and instead trying to open up those cons packs. Because if there's any other winner in terms of here's our MTG Finance corner for the week, it's not the fact that Jace is huge in Standard, but fetch lands are definitely going to be worth their weight in gold again, especially after Pro Tour weekend. So, yeah, if you haven't got your play set of those already, and I can't imagine if you listen to this show you don't already own way too many Magic cards, then by the time you're listening to this, it's probably too late, and I feel bad for you. You should definitely...
How many play sets should you have? That's what I want to know, because I'm not sure how many I have, but it's...
It depends how many Deadbeat friends you have. Let's
probably start. A metric fuckton of both. I have a metric fuckton of both, so...
Deadbeat friends and play sets of
fetch. And play sets of fetch.
See, and I said this a long time ago on an episode before. David's got the right idea. David does it right. He has enough cards to field his friends' decks. And that's how he plays the finance game right, as far as I'm concerned. He can supply me with cards if I need them, and he can supply himself with cards when he needs them.
The thing that I started to do is I just go, look, you pay for my entry, and if you win, then, you know, hook a brother up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, generally, I usually won't go as far as the pay for my entry, although I like that. I'll try to implement that. It's generally the, you know, you kind of cut winnings in half with whoever you borrowed.
I mean, there's a couple friends that I do that with, and then there's a couple that, you know, they'll do both. You know, especially depending on the deck, like how expensive it is. There's like, I had one, I wouldn't really call him a friend, but I let him borrow a deck. He took it and like top eighted a 1K or something like that. And he just comes back and goes, thanks. And it was fucking dirty. It had all those little spots. Like,
oh, I hate that.
I was like, I will never let you borrow a deck again. Ever.
Yeah, I've got a full blown friend who's got a case of the sweaty hands when he plays Magic. And that's.
Well, like, I get that. Like, I get that. Certain people can't help that. Like, but, like, fucking clean it after you're done if that happens. Yeah. Or at the least, like, oh, thanks, give it to me all dirty. Like, I know you top eight in the event. People told me. Nothing.
You're just going to pretend he didn't.
All right, well, guess what?
Kind of the, uh, the general borrower-borrowee relationship, you know, as we've mentioned before, you know, if you're borrowing somebody's deck, kind of, I say 50% of your take-home is really what you're offering there for anything that's tangible. If you win a box, half that goes to the guy that supplied the deck. And generally, if you top eight, you got to instantly re-sleeve that thing if it didn't.
You would think, right? Like, I was expecting, especially from this dude, you know, some sort of etiquette. And then when that happened, I was like, well, one, we're not even really friends, like we're just acquaintances, you know, play Magic in the same town. And after this, like, you can go fuck yourself. Like, hey, you want to borrow cards? I'm sorry, taint happening.
Yeah. See, that's what I like too, though. Like, I mean, that's still like makes my end of the deal better. I know I'm never gonna have to give you any fucking winnings because I'm not gonna win anything.
It's true. But
which half of my pity pack do you want?
Yeah, so like, Kevy's the one of the ones that are like, you're paying my entry fee. That's what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I see. I get the value out of Kevin. Mm. Well, usually guys like that get the lower pick on the totem pole of decks from my experience. It's like, yeah. Oh, what'd you want to play? Oh, we don't have, you know, 16 Jaces this week. So,
yeah, you're stuck playing.
Well, with Kevin, it doesn't even matter. He's like, yeah, well, Jace is blue, so I'm good without that.
Yeah. That's the irony is usually like the red is like the third tier deck. That's like somebody brought their nephew or the new kid at the shop wants to go to the PTQ and you're like, all right, here's 22 mountains. But it almost works out better for Kevin where it's just like, oh, that was going to be his first choice anyway.
Yeah. Right. Well, Kevin's so bad. Like, it's not bad at Magic. That's not what I was getting at.
That's what I was like, getting at.
Yeah, well, you can say it. I'm not an asshole. Kevy is so bad at going and playing Magic. Like, I build red decks for him to play in hopes that we can get him out and about into the, you know, the Magic community, and it still just doesn't work.
I'm still like, hey, how about we do it like this instead? How about you go, and then when you get done, come by my house, and we'll just play some Magic while sitting here drinking. That way I don't have to get up and leave my house, and I can get some Magic in, because I know I'm not going to win anyway, so fuck it. And then David comes over.
Weird. It's so weird because if I just listened to this show and, like, I wasn't, like, on Twitter or anything, I would assume that Kevy was, like, this 300-plus pound, you know, just, like, sits around all day kind of motherfucker.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I mean, yeah. Right now, it's not the case. No. Red decks out of the house, man. I mean, I understand if you're only going to play a few rounds with them, then you're stuck there chain smoking at a store while your buddy's top eighting, and that could be frustrating. Yeah. But that's what things like Cube and Booze Cube and Commander and all those other things are for.
And things might change a little bit. I might be able to, and I know I've said this kind of shit before, but like with the new job and my schedule changing, I might be able to get out and do some stuff because I'll be getting home at fucking 2:30 now instead of fucking 5 to 5:30. So I can get home and I can do house stuff, home stuff, whatever, and then, you know, hang out with wife and shit like that on a Friday, and then go and, you know, play Magic for a couple hours and then come back home.
Let me translate this. He's gonna get home at 2:00
and start drinking.
He's gonna start drinking. Yeah, there you go. He beat me to it.
Yeah.
He already fucking knew. He just wanted to give you listeners a little.
Yeah, I wanted you guys to have some fun.
Oh, maybe we'll see some Kevy Metal at F&M. No, it's not happening. Like,
yeah, I don't think we've really got a shot until Brody's old enough to go with you.
Yeah, that might change things.
But then your problem is that
Brody's going to be at F&M while I'm sitting at home.
Have little drinking. Miss Metal and then use her as an excuse to stay home and drink.
Maybe Brody's gonna want to get out the house and do boy things.
Yeah, you know what he's gonna do? He's like, hey, Uncle David, you want to go to F&M with you?
Exactly.
And Brody's cool as fuck. Let's do this.
My dad's out in the bar and he can't stand up. So can you take me to F&M? I'm be like, yeah, that's right. Get it. Oh, you gotta love it.
I'm just saying that's probably what's gonna happen.
No, I wanna play more Magic. There's just so much other stuff I have to do. And then by the time, like, the weekend comes around, I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm getting some Magic in this weekend. I'm like, David, come over. And we'll just sit here and drink and talk about shit and, like, watch stand-up comedy instead of playing Magic. Like, literally, whoa, we sat here for hours on end. Could have been playing Magic the entire time, but we're like, I was just fucking hang out for a while, you know? Oh,
that is true.
We get some Booze Cube in, I guess, but... Yeah, because usually by then it's like, oh, man, I don't feel like playing real Magic. Especially playing real Magic against you. It's different playing real Magic against Daniel, because, like, if I've started drinking, and Daniel's drinking, we can play real Magic, and we're both making terrible mistakes, and we're both bad Magic players. If I'm playing against David could be asleep, and I'm still going to lose. So,
I'm like, eh, let's just play Booze Cube. Then at least I've got a chance.
Have you beat me at Booze Cube? Well, I'm standing in for Maddie here.
Oh,
you want to play the Booze Cube?
Some Booze Cube, eh? Oh, no, I don't think I beat you at Booze Cube either, but I feel like I have a chance.
I think your chances are better in Booze Cube.
I have beat you a couple times on accident playing Real Magic, but that's like just on accident. You have a bad game, and you know, I capitalize on it. But usually, I lose to you either way. But I've learned that that's my place in life.
Never stop reaching for the stars.
That's right. I'm switching it up. I got a new fucking boner. I'm building 8-rack in Modern, and I want to fucking see how that works. I'm excited about playing that instead of
Does that run fucking Waste Knot in it?
It runs in the sideboard.
Oh, okay, cool.
I love that card, and it's just
Waste Knot's fucking sweet. And yeah, it runs that in the sideboard. I mean, I don't know. It looks like a lot of fun. It's funny because I brought it up to Daniel, and I was just all, check it out. I'm building this, and fucking because I've been running with that mono black aggro deck for a little while, and it's fun, like that zombie new Liliana aggro deck, and it's fun to play, but it's, you know. It's tier, yeah, it's tier 2 at best. But then I started looking at that, and I said something to him about it, and he's all, damn, that looks terrifying. And by the way, what is it with you and playing decks that doesn't let the other guy play Magic? Because it's either burn or shit like that. And I'm just like, oh, well, if I interact, that forces me to learn how to play Magic, and I refuse to do that. So I will either play a red deck where I count to 20, or I will play a black deck that doesn't let you have a hand until you die from the rack and what shrieking affliction. So I'm good with it. I don't like interacting with, you know, people. I do enough interaction with people on a day-to-day basis in real life. So if I play Magic, I don't want to interact with you. I just want to win or lose and get the game over with so we can start another one and drink.
The ADD is real.
Yeah, that's right. So, that being said, what the fuck else do we have to talk about? That's it. Show's over. Fuck off.
There's some interesting standard decks out there. Like,
I kind of wanted to get my standard news from you guys because I'm interested in the new standard, but I just haven't paid enough attention. So I wanted to talk to you guys or listen to you guys talk and find out what is happening. Because I might be able to pop in every once in a while and be like, what color is that card? But I don't know shit about this new standard.
Best seed in the house. Best seed in the house.
Well, like, I would say, like, the most innovative and interesting deck to, come out of standard right now is that Bring to Light deck. Bring to Light is it's a rare out of Battle for Zendikar. It's a sorcery. I think it costs 5, and it has Converge. So basically, for each different color of mana that you use to cast it, you can search your library for, I think it's like almost anything. A creature, instant, sorcery.
Creature, instant, sorcery, that's it.
Yeah, okay, creature,
no,
instant,
no walkers, which
card.
Is a big deal.
Yeah, that sucks. I was thinking maybe it could pull walkers, but creature, instant, or sorcery, and essentially lets you cast it for free. So,
it's great.
You just have this giant toolbox. It's a 5-color deck, you have this just laundry list of all these interesting instant sorceries and creatures that you can go and tutor for that are powerful all on their own right. You know, like you've got Abzan Charm, you've got Languish, you've got the Ruinous Path, you have what's some of the other ones? Obviously you run Siege Rhinos. Have Gen Protectors to get back, you know, Bring to Light or whatever else you need to get back. I'm pretty sure it runs Jace. Why not? Well, for one, that's a creature that turns into a Planeswalker.
Right.
So, it's the most interesting and, like, new deck in Standard. Like, a lot of the other ones are just, you know, it's Abzan Control, and then they just slide in a couple of the Battle for Zendikar cards, like Ruinous Path. But other than that, and it's like got like Wiltleaf Winnower, which is a new card that people are using for, you know, anti-Siege Rhino. So that to me is the deck that showed the innovation.
I'm seeing a few, like, just as I've been kind of like looking through Twitter and stuff, I've seen a lot, like, there's a few different lists that are four or five color. Like, nobody's like,
yeah, but if you look at those decks, right? they're not super innovative. They just like splashed it. Like, Jeskai is like Jeskai aggro from old, and then they're right. Like, let's throw some black in there so
that's
we can
why
have
I, there's a
some fucking removal and butcher of the horde,
right? There's a meme I saw about that. It says, is it Jeskai Black or is it Mardu Blue?
Mardu Blue, yeah, exactly. I think they just call it Jeskai Black because it's got more...
It's just splashing black.
Just a few non-Jeskai cards. Black.
I'd still be an asshole and keep calling it Mardu Blue if I was playing.
I think Mardu Blue sounds better.
Mm-hmm. Why can't we come up with some goddamn deck names for once in our life ever? We just conceded to that idea. Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter.
We need to do that. We just need to bum rush like MTG Goldfish for all their decks. Like when you go look at that site and all their decks up at the top left corner says suggest a better name, and we just need to start bombarding them with fucking
names. Part of that
is
not people's fault, because I can speak from experience. Like, I named my Mardu deck Skunk in a Blender, and
nobody wanted to stick with it.
SCG was just like, no, we're gonna call this Daga Control. And I'm like,
now you know how white guys wrote the Bible, because shit like this stands, okay? Yeah, all
right. So, I'm just saying, like, who knows? Some of these people that made these decks could have had very interesting deck names, and then they were like,
we'll just never know. Their signal's not loud enough. Like I kept saying, Jerry's deck should have been called like Book of Revelations or something.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason it couldn't have had a fun name.
Yeah, well, mine did, and that just got ousted. Like, I wrote on my fucking deck list, you know, Skunk in a Blender, and they were
like, that's not nice.
No, that's not politically correct. People don't put skunks in blenders.
That would smell awful.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's just my little amendment, you know, because who knows, some of these people probably, you know, did have their own fun, unique names and, you know, these stores. It's not even, like, politically correct. They're just like, we want it to be easily recognizable what it is.
Right. Because
if you read, you know, fucking Book of Revelations, you'd be like, what the fuck is that? But to me, it's like, that would cause me to click on that.
Mm-hmm. See?
Because, yeah, like, there's some, like, you can go to SCG and look up the open list, the top 16, and, you know, I'll see some decks, and I won't even click on it. I'm like, I know what the fuck is in that deck. I'm not really interested in it. But, you know, Jeskai Black, that's like, well, I'm going to click on that just to see what the change. But then when you see Bringalite, I'm like, well, never seen that before. I'm definitely clicking on that. But I definitely think that there's still a lot of room for improvement and room for innovation in Standard. I personally am working on a couple decks as of, like, yesterday and today. I finally kind of put my Bruin cap on, and I feel like there's a few avenues that nobody has jumped into that, like, as good as mana is right now, like, the Bringalite and the Jeskai Black, the mana has to get slowed down at some point, bogged down, because you need so many colors and you're not going to be able to have enough basics to actually, you know, get the check lands on time. You know, it'll mess with you during certain games. It'll slow your curve down by a turn or whatever else. And I'm thinking that a well-constructed two-color aggro deck, there are a couple different colors, but to me, red-white kind of stands out because you can curve out Gideon into Sarkhan, which is a very aggressive curve, and it's also languish-proof, and Ruinous Path being a sorcery really is going to cause them problems, because even if you go Gideon, make a 2-2, then they're going to be like, well, I need to Ruinous Path this, and then you play Sarkhan, attack for 6, haste, and then they have to figure out what to do next turn to try and take care of Sarkhan before he murders them. So, right. We'll see. I don't know. I haven't tested, so I could be wrong. The mana could just be so good that you can play as many colors as you want and run, you know, fucking Rider into Butcher into frickin' Sarkhan or Wingmate Rock or whatever the hell 5-drop you want to curve out into. But we'll see. I'm trying some new things.
I recommend going back and actually listening to the A-Team from last week was actually had Jerry on to talk about his deck, and it was a little reminiscent of old Jerry T, which I thoroughly enjoyed back when Jerry was kind of a no bullshit kind of guy about how bad most Magic players are, and very honest about his feelings about all things. He considered the deck to be pretty bad into the tournament and just found that people are so bad at Magic no one could beat him. So that was
I think that's bullshit.
I don't know. His reasoning and logic are pretty sound in terms of the deck and how kind of fragile the entire thing was. And I don't think you're going to see a list of that variety at the Pro Tour this weekend, as much as I like the concept of the toolbox of Bring to Light. And Jerry talked a lot about how, you know, there are other cards out there he didn't play that could have access to, you know, namely having another Winnower, or having definitely access to Silumgar's Command. Would have been really good to deal with problems similar to, you know, like Silumgar's Command is like a kind of a one for one on Gideon or any of these other planeswalkers that could be running around. But I agree that the mana bases are not strong enough when, you know, the red deck, we lost Lightning Strike, but now it's just this combo deck with Become Immense, which I think was a great move by someone like Brian DeMars.
Yeah, Become Immense and Teemer Battle Rage and the +3/+1 Scry 1 card, and it's just turned into like almost like a sly deck.
Yeah, which I think was really smart.
I think it was good, but I think that's like a one tournament thing. Like people are going to be ready for that, and then you're going to get blown out. But who knows? It could still be viable, but I think it loses a lot of.
Even unsummoned still costs 2 mana. Like there's not a whole lot really taking you off that game. I mean, like, yeah, people are going to know about it now. It's not going to be as easy to get through. But I think it's, I mean, like, there aren't a lot of other aggressive decks. Like, there's no Allies deck. There's no White Weenie deck that when there could be. Although, again, Craig Wesko this weekend should show us something. I have to believe there are enough Savannah Lions in the format for there to be something.
Languish exists, and exists in numbers. That's why I wanted to go red-white, is because your top end, when you start being in threatened range of Languish, really puts the pressure on them, because Languish is only going to take care of your ones and twos and maybe your threes. And then your four and five drops are going to be planeswalkers that apply a lot of pressure. And the removal being the way it is right now, they're going to have to either just one for one and then take a shit ton of damage from your early drops, or they're going to have to languish and then take a shit ton of damage from your four and five drops. So I don't know. I have to brew it up and see how it actually plays out, but it seems like it would be really strong.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the meantime, all the decks that aren't the red deck, I mean, it's they kind of falter to the Jace decks. There's not a lot of spot removal. Like, people are so excited to be playing a card like Wild Slash right now, which means there should be plenty of openings for new decks to be played this weekend. But Jace is still kind of a real deal. I think that it's kind of the best card advantage in Standard. I mean, I don't think is it really close beyond that.
Well, dig through time.
Well, yeah, but those are always used as a 1-2 punch combo.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying I would say that that's the better card advantage. I think it applies a different level of pressure. Like, Jace is actually a threat at a certain point, whereas Dig Through Time is just, it's very backbreaking in the late game, and can get you out of a lot of situations where Jace can't. But yeah, there's a very, very few decks that if they're running Jace are not going to run some number of Dig Through Times. But the other thing that I like about cutting colors, like, and I was talking to somebody on Twitter, he was wanting me to look at his list, which is, it's similar to the Bring to Light, but he's got some different numbers and has tuned it a little differently. And it seems pretty good, but I haven't played in this format yet, so I can't really apply, give as much feedback as normally would. But if you cut the colors, then you have access to, what the hell is that instant speed O-ring? The,
Snare, some yeah, kind of
something
snare.
It's 2W1, snare. Instant speed Oblivion Ring. And that seems really, really, really good right now. Very, very good removal. If you're running red and white, you can be aggressive. Play your Kithions into your Anafenza or whatever else. The Knight of the White Orchid, who knows? Like, I haven't looked at all the different red and white two drops, but those stand out as some pretty decent ones. And then on three, you can take care of something, swing in. If they languish, you play Gideon, then they're in a rough spot, run out of Sarkhan on five. So we'll see. That was just kind of where my mind went when I saw some of these lists. They looked maybe potentially pretty weak to something like that. Words in English and stuff.
Words.
I got nothing else.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I'm definitely not jumping in there because I don't know. I don't know.
I have not played Standard yet. I actually forgot there was a Standard PPTQ within reach for me last weekend, so I just kind of completely bricked that event. And then this weekend, I think my calendar doesn't have any events, especially now that Dave's coming into town. I got to try to be available. And I'll be like, I'm off playing Magic.
Well, I don't mind if there's a mat. I thought there was some sort of big event somewhere up in the but I think there's a Channel Fireball thing, so that's probably not good for
I mean, that's not really an event. That's an ass raping. There's another PPTQ. Oh, that wonderful location in the city I may have told you guys about. The oh my god, the one that's
the place
like
by the pizza place.
Yeah, the one where you have to literally sit inside the oven. I mean, not literally, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Whoa.
If there are
enough. I'm guessing there's not a lot of Jewish players that attend. Oh, my God.
Oh, you can't say that.
Are you just attempting to make
me
edit?
Was that too soon?
You guys are trying to make me edit this podcast, aren't you? Well, guess what? Shit ain't happening.
Oh, no.
No, but and that place has got to be nice when it gets cold, though, right? Like,
I don't know yet because we're in a drought in California.
Yeah, January, February hits, man. It's going to be fucking sweet. You'd be like, hell yeah, we're going to go play in the fucking pizza oven.
All I know is the ladies want their boot weather, and we have yet to get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got their pumpkin spice lattes.
They're running around with their pumpkin spice lattes in shorts still because it's fucking hot still.
At least they are around here, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's still brutal fucking hot. I started, like, because I have to wear fucking boots and fucking pants to work when I get to the railroad, so I've been, like, trying to acclimate myself to that and wearing boots and pants every day, and it sucks already. I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. Fucking, California, it's hot, but the desert, it's really fucking hot.
I can imagine it's heated up in my neck of the woods the last few days, so I can only imagine how awful it is where you guys are at.
Yeah. Still in the hundreds.
Let's go, God!
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
October! Come on now!
Yeah. Yeah, this year, like, you know, all the girls that like to dress in slutty costumes for Halloween are going to actually luck out this year. Because they'll be like, oh, it's just too hot to wear a fucking costume. So I can just wear underwear and cat ears and fucking call it a day. And be fine. Instead of being freezing. But... Yeah, you picked you and Marcel picked, you know, the right time of year to try to make it down here. It's
You'd think. So far, nothing has changed.
Yeah, we'll see. It's gonna be just still.
No, like I said, and you've heard me say it doesn't really cool off here until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yes.
Not Thanksgiving, excuse me. Halloween.
Halloween, yeah.
All right, then hopefully we'll still be in the solid window when we do make it down.
That one window for like 2 weeks that happens in the fall, and then like right at the fucking, you know, right at the beginning of summer where it's like, oh wow, Ridgecrest has nice weather. This is fucking sweet. It's like San Diego weather, but it only happens for like 4 weeks total a year, and that's why Ridgecrest is Ridgecrest and not San Diego.
Yep.
It's the way it works here. You've got that thing that happens every fucking year where you're like, all right, it's fucking cooling down. Finally, sweet. I'm going to go fucking shut down the cooler and start up the heater. And then the following week, it's hot as balls. And you hate your life. So you always have to wait that extra week or two and then fucking winterize your shit. And the same thing happens, you know, when it starts getting hot out. You're like, oh, fucking sweet, it's warming up. And you start the fucking, you know, start the cooler up again. And then it gets cold as fuck. Again, for a week and a half, 2 weeks. And it's just because Mother Nature hates us.
Pretty much.
That's why Mother Nature neglected to put anything fucking usable here besides dirt and bushes.
And that's why no one's there, and that's why you can go to Walmart and buy fat packs whenever you want, unlike the rest of the country.
Exactly!
Yeah, you gotta look for the upside.
Yep. Yeah, we do have upside in that. Yeah, I was worried, like, everybody was talking about on fucking Twitter, they're like, oh, man, the fucking price of these fat packs are fucking ridiculous. You know, places, like, stores are fucking gouging, fucking, what is it, like $70, $80 for a fucking fat pack, which nobody ever gives a shit about fat packs. You have those people that, like, they buy one every set. Nobody ever gives a shit about them. But the reason that these ones are ridiculous, I mean, yeah, I think the Expedition lands are pushing it, but I think the big reason why everybody's buying these fat packs is the full art fucking basics. Like, that's the reason that the guy that would normally buy one every set is buying three or four, and a bunch of people that don't buy fat packs are out buying them, and that's why they can drive the price of them up, is the fact that there's a packet of fucking full art basics in there, and everybody wants to go out and buy, you know, fat packs, got some packs in it, maybe get some expeditions out of it, and get a nice little fucking land pack, and they're going crazy at fucking, like, all over everywhere. Like, people are having trouble getting a hold of them, and then everybody started talking about, I guess, and Tristan, you might know more about this, but from what I've gathered, like, I guess Wizards pretty much just does one run of the fat packs, and that's it. And then those go out to the distributors, and that's it. It's just done. It's not like they're going to reprint them this during the set. And so everybody started going in this, well, fuck, all these places are out of fat packs, and they're all fucking cost a ridiculous amount of money, and there's not going to be any more of them, so everybody went into panic mode. But, I mean, shit, I bought the last fat pack that was at our Walmart, and then, like, the next week, David came over and was like, yeah, I was just there, and there's a whole fucking, there's a shit ton of them. And then, like, 2 days later, I was at Walmart, and there was still a shit ton of them. There's probably 10 fucking fat packs sitting there on the fucking shelf.
They were all gone last night. But
were they?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe somebody went out, like everybody was telling me to do, just go buy them all. You know?
Someone drove into Ridgecrest and picked them up after you
you
mentioned it.
No shit.
Because I like your post where it was like, I can get as many as I want, but what am I going to do with them after that? I might as well just...
I get it. Like, if I was one of those guys that... Like, obviously, I'm terrible with my money. If I was one of those guys that was trying to, like, grind out value on them, yeah, shit, go over to Walmart, buy all fucking 10 of them, and then turn around and fucking double what I'm, you know, sell them off to people that pay for fucking shipping or whatever, but sell them off to people on the internet and fucking, or sell them to fucking, you know, well, I guess basically just people on the internet, because I'm not going to find anybody in Ridgecrest to buy them. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. It seems like a lot of fucking work to grind out a little bit of fucking value when I could just not do that. And then, like, I'm just glad that there are, because I bought one. I'd like to buy another one or two, just to have a fuck ton of, you know, basic Zendikar lands and, you know, maybe open some packs. I don't want to go fucking buy a box looking for fucking Expedition lands. I thought about it earlier on, like, before the set was released. Like, Daniel and I were talking about, oh, let's split a fucking box. You know, this is one of the first sets in a while that I, like, wanted to buy product of. Then I started seeing what really was there, and it's like, well, shit, if you're not opening fucking the Zendikar land or the Expedition lands, there's not a lot of value in the set anyway, so I don't want to go fucking spend money on a fucking box, especially because I'm not the type of guy that's going to turn around and sell that shit and or trade it off right away and be like, oh, sweet, I got all this value. Now I can turn that fucking actual money I spent on the box into fucking card value or, you know, back into real money. I'm basically going to open them all up, and they're going to sit in fucking stacks here at my house until I eventually fucking trade them off, or I end up putting them in a fucking deck at some point. So, for me, it was like, I don't want to do the box thing. So, but fat packs are nice. It scratches that itch to, you know, open some packs and maybe see if I get a fucking Expedition out of it. If not, oh, fucking well, you know, I've got fucking sweet little box and a bunch of full art lands. And, I mean, I can't complain because David was giving me shit because the one fucking fat pack I opened worked out pretty fucking well for me. So,
yeah, there were none last night. I bought two, and I didn't have a mythic in either one. They were not very great fat packs. But then I went and bought eight packs last night, and I got an Expedition. I got, like, three mythics,
right,
a couple
on
of the lands. I was like, all right, this morning.
Kind of made up for
made
it.
Up for it. Made up for it.
No shit. Right on, man. That's cool. Yeah, the fat pack I got, I think I got, what, three of the lands, the fucking Fight Club lands or whatever. Got three of those, Drana, and something else that was halfway worth.
Yeah, his fat pack was fucking amazing, minus like a Scalding Tarn expedition. Like that's what it was left out of.
it was pretty. But I was like looking at it, I was like, oh, good. I mean, I got some decent shit out of this, but nothing too spectacular. You know, all right, I got drawn out of it. And then David started like going through just the rares, and he's just like, yeah, this is fucking stupid. I hate you.
I grabbed like three of the cards out of it, and I was like, this is worth $60 right here. Just these. So then you have the land pack and then like this other $10 or $15, $20 worth of cards on top of it. I was like, it was a good investment.
Yeah, that definitely worked out because it was like $41 because Walmart is cool.
But at this point, your Walmarts have been cleared out. There's no more.
Well, as of right now, like he grabbed the last one and then I went in like the next day and there was like eight of them sitting there. I grabbed a couple.
Yeah, and then when I went in, like, a couple days later, there was plenty on the shelf. So they'll probably be out of them, and then the supplier will come back in and stock the shelves again. So,
yeah, I mean, it has been true for a while that they only do one printing of fat packs kind of in the first wave of distribution. However, there's not really an exact limitation on how big that wave has to be or exactly when the first wave even really stops.
Right, I get you.
So, you know, it's possible that this time around there could be more of this stuff let into the wild than usual. I don't really know exactly how it's going to go down.
They may have kind of foreseen a little bit of this because, you know, when they released it, the fat packs were going to have full art land.
They had to know if there were full art land packs, there was going to be, and expeditions, that there was going to be a greater demand on the fat packs.
Right. And that's gonna cause them. Sorry about that. Phone went off. That's gonna cause. You know, they have to know that there's gonna be demand for it. And I don't know. Again, like TSG said, I don't know if it's like, oh, hey, we have a set number that we're gonna print, and then we're going to, you know, like maybe for this time because this set's gonna be bought more, we're gonna increase that number we're gonna print. Or if it's like, hey, we leave the printing presses on for X amount of time. And then we shut them down for good for that set, and maybe we'll leave it open longer this time, or whatever the case may be. Because I don't know, it's one of those things, like, you know, I don't think they've ever had to deal with like a shortage of fucking fat packs before, but now with the way that things are going, and that also might have been like, you know, release week fucking hype, people like, oh my god, these things are fucking, you know, they're gone from all the stores, so we got to make sure that we get them. And they're like, fucking, oh, I can't get a fat pack. This is driving me nuts. Oh, shit, they've got one for 60. I'll buy it. And then that store's like, well, shit, we could bump these up to 70. And, like, you know, then they just drive to Ridgecrest and clear Walmart out. And then
Star City got a lot of unnecessary shit about that whole situation because a lot of it's supply and demand currently, and a lot of it's just kind of like planning for the future where,
right,
you know, as a website like that, you want to have every item available to everyone at every time, but you're also perfectly fine with kind of halting the price or raising it to the point where you're going to have it for a little while because, you know, 6 months down the road, 9 months down the road, 3 years down the road, when there's somebody out there who's trying to get one of every fat pack or some weird collector or something, and they're gonna buy a whole bunch of stuff from whatever website still has those kind of items in stock, and that's why things like the original Zendikar fat packs are worth a fuck ton. Personally, I don't get it. Personally,
that was very emphasized on the personal part of that.
I know it's maybe I'm taking it personal, but I just don't understand the draw of the fat pack or being the fat pack collector. I've seen many a person's fucking den and garage just full of those boxes, and I just got to sit there and wonder why. Why?
Well, but, see, I don't go back and buy the expensive ass ones, but I generally try and get at least one of the new ones.
I like to have them because those boxes are fucking sweet for things like the booze cube and for fucking random shit. Because especially, I'm terrible with organizing my cards, so I'm like, all right, this box is full of the shit that I may or may not be playing with. And then this giant box over here is just full of the shit that I don't care. It's just random ass fucking bulk or whatever, shit that's not my trade binder, shit I'm not using. But then there's a lot of stuff I'm like, I've kind of tore apart. Like, I've, you know, cannibalized decks before, but I kind of left the rest of it intact. Because that way, if I ever want to build that deck again, I just got to pull those 10 cards from somewhere else and put them back in. So rather than having to sort back through all my fucking, you know, my bulk shit, I'll kind of leave those all in a stack somewhere. And then I've got all these stacks everywhere, so it's kind of turned into like, oh, okay, you guys are going in these fat pack boxes. you know, gives a, for me, it's a little more like, it's nice to have the organization there, in little pods of things. But then it's just, you know, again, with me too, it's like, I am not the kind of guy that goes and buys boxes and shit. Like, I, the only box I've ever bought was from the original Modern Masters. I was like, yeah, I'm buying a booster box. I don't, you know, spend that much money on Magic to like, that I go out and buy boxes. But I do have that. It's like the stripped down mini version of buying a box. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I get, you know, especially this one, getting the land pack too. But it's like, oh, I get like 9 packs and I can fucking rip through those, open them, get a little box, fucking cool, whatever. And I can spend $40 on doing that instead of going out and spending 100 plus on a fucking booster box when I'm not going to, like I said before, I'm not going to do anything with the cards. So that's personally why I like the fat packs. But I mean, I could get where somebody with a larger collection or somebody that's, you know, at a real LGS more often and can fucking move those cards more often and quicker and easier, where, you know, fat packs are just kind of like a pointless little endeavor, and you might as well just be spending your money on boxes and shit.
Fair.
Fair. He didn't sound nearly as excited about fair as he did.
Yeah, he personally didn't feel as strongly on that one.
No, I don't. You know, one of the lessons that Magic has definitely taught me is that people will collect the shit out of anything,
right,
and oftentimes that shit is kind of weird.
It's kind of weird, but pointless.
Yeah.
I like dice. I collect dice.
You like dicks?
I like decks, and like when I actually play real Magic, I use a fucking Sign and Blood life pad anyway, so I don't really need dice. But I collect dice because I think they're fucking cool.
You know, you don't go to the shop to find all those kids who are like, I have to have the right color die from the current standard set that goes with the color of the deck I'm playing, or
Jesus Christ, no. No, I've got a skull jar full of fucking dice that just sit here and like. When we sit down and play Magic in the fucking bar, like 3 or 4 of those dice get used. But it's like the goddamn thing is fucking half full of fucking dice because I just have a thing for dice. I'm like, oh, man, those are awesome. I remember I had some poor kid come over to my house to play Magic when I was his first night here, and he had these red and black dice, and I threw a fucking fit until that I got that kid to trade me some shit for those fucking dice because I insisted on having them. And I don't use them for anything. They just sit in the fucking jar. But, like, I wanted them real bad. I don't even remember what I traded that kid. Probably some shit that I shouldn't have, because I do dumb stuff like that, too.
It was definitely way more than you should have.
Way more fucking cards worth, but I'm like, I don't give a shit. I don't need those cards. I want those fucking dice now. I do that kind of shit. Like, it's bad. Like, David's been around it enough, and I've talked about it on the cast enough. Like, I'm terrible when it comes to value in Magic, which is probably why I shouldn't buy boxes of stuff product. I'm like, yeah, I'll trade you this whole fucking box for them dice right there. And then sober up and realize it's a bad idea. But, you know, what do you do?
I don't know, that's for sure.
Tristan, you don't seem to have this problem.
He personally doesn't understand that problem.
Tristan, yeah. You don't seem to have a problem trading off, like, ridiculous amounts of value for shit that doesn't matter while you're drinking, or going on the internet and buying cards that you don't need because you like them, and spending, like, top dollar for them just because.
And yeah, it's been a little while since I was drunkenly trading Magic cards.
It's fun. You should get into that.
It's a new element of the game.
That just said I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great. You should get into it, TSG, just for fun.
Just the Kevin Metal lifestyle, like, really, in a nutshell, I feel like. You shouldn't do that. You should totally do that.
You should totally do that shit.
Do as I say, not as I do. I guess they're the same thing. So, whatever. Yeah, I still remember, the best story of that was when I, like, fucking just decided I liked the card Geist of St. Traff back in the day. I was like, this fucking card is sweet. I don't fucking have any. So I bought a playset, and I didn't need them for anything, because I don't play with blue cards, and, you know, white cards I only play when there's red and black accompaniment. And so I was like, but I need these, and I bought a playset of fucking Geist when they were, like, just at their fucking, like, right at the top of their fucking value range. I was like, yeah, and I bought them, and I didn't do shit with them,
And the only reason it worked out for me is I ended up trading those to Marcel for my entire weekend in Vegas. I was just all, hey, man, I mean, I could get you the money if you want, but, like, I could also get you these four fucking Geists, and that would work, too, if you're down. He's like, fuck yeah, we'll do that. So I just traded him four Geists for, like, my room in Vegas, the first Vegas, and it worked out. At least I didn't completely fucking strike out on that one. Otherwise, I'd still have a fucking place that a guy sitting there not doing shit for me in a binder somewhere, being like, oh, man, I wish I played blue cards because I could sure use that, but I don't, so... God forbid I got my hands on, like, a fucking playset of bases or something. They probably just sit in my binder being fucking, like, just... I just yell at them every time I turn that page and be like, fuck you, Jace. No, fuck you. And rather than trading them off or selling them or doing anything smart like that with them. So, yeah, TSG, you should get into doing what I do.
Yeah. It would definitely make the concept of trading much more entertaining. I think it would come at a very steep price.
You'd rather just watch it from the outside. Watch it happen. Cringe as some of the stories happen.
God knows I do.
Lord knows I have.
And you know what's sweet? You know what makes David an awesome friend? Is David knows that I'm this kind of guy and still is not, like, taking advantage of that. He's not like, oh, Kevin's drunk. I should bust out the trade binders. He's a legit fucking friend, and he's just like, oh, no, I'm not going to take advantage of him like that.
I keep meaning to.
You're just going to come to borrow his cards the next time you need something anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll trade those to you, man.
You're better off just giving all your cards to David anyway, and then you won't do anything dumb with them, but if you need them.
Yeah, I'm all, here's fucking $500 worth of cards, and like 2 years later, I'll have like $6,000 worth of cards. And I will have been able to play them the whole time. And then he'll take his fucking finder's fee. He'll take his $5,000, and I'll still have $1,000 worth of cards. It'll work out great for both of us. But no, then I couldn't make bad decisions and making bad decks while I'm sitting at home fucking drinking after the podcast going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to order these. Oh, I'm terrible at that too. That's one of the worst is after we get done podcasting, I always like to sit there and get all in that magic mood and start brewing. I'm like, oh man, I want to start fucking building this deck or whatever, which I can almost guarantee is going to happen tonight. I'm going to buy all those fucking cards that I need for 8-rack other than fucking the lilies because since I don't leave my fucking house to fucking play Magic at this moment, I'm not going to spend the money on the fucking lilies. I've got some sweet-ass fucking proxy guy fucking lilies that I can use. So I'm not going to buy those. But the rest of them, I'm probably going to fucking sit there and start fucking going through and filling my shopping cart up. Yeah, I need this. Yeah, I need this. And then I'm going to be brewing, but not like brewing like David does. When he sits down and starts looking at what the cards do, and, you know, really getting a list together and then purchasing what he may or may not need, I am going to sit there and be like, what else would go good in this deck? And then I'm going to end up with, like, a 75-card main deck and be like, fuck, now I spent a bunch of money on shit I don't need. I got to trim this down. And, yeah, I feel like that's probably going to happen. That's how I build decks.
Have you ever lost anything to booze spills in these late night drunken escapades of deck building? Because my old roommates and I definitely had some casualties of Magic cards of that.
I don't think I've ever had any like booze related casualties to Magic cards. Like we've had some spills, but those usually happen when
seems statistically impossible.
No,
it seems statistically impossible.
Yeah, but I think the only times we've had spills and stuff, that's usually when we're playing Boost Cube, and those are fucking paper printouts of cards anyway, and so those don't matter. And, like, as far as, like, the cards go, usually I'm not, like, sitting out with my cards deck brewing. Like, I might have, you know, a stack of cards in my hand I'm flipping through, but...
I think the real answer is usually he's not playing actual Magic. Yeah. So
when I'm deck brewing and hammered, like Tristan was asking about, that's the thing. I'm not deck brewing like I've got my cards out like David and be like, oh, I want some of these here and this here. This. No, I'm on the goddamn internet fucking buying them when I don't, like, rather than just putting those cards in a pile and realizing, wait, I don't need those. Or, like, making a mental note of, hey, I should probably buy four of these. I just buy them. And then a lot of them sit in my fucking bulk box or my binder forever because I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't need those. And there's been plenty of times I've bought cards while I'm building a deck and then realized that I already had a playset of them sitting in that bulk box.
And now I've got 8 of them sitting in that bulk box because I didn't look and I also didn't need them. I am terrible with money. That is the only reason that I have anything is because my wife is here. And she doesn't let
I hope she's nearby to hear these praises.
Oh, hell no. She's in the other room. Yeah, I don't praise her to her face.
So then she'll expect that shit.
Yes, expect that shit. No, she's like, the only reason I have things is because of her. Because I before I was with her, man, I didn't have shit. I lived at fucking Josh's house, and I spent all of my money on shit I didn't need, and I just wasted it all the time. Terrible with money.
A perfect American.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, got my wife, like, you know, I remember at first just being like, this is fucking stupid. She's fucking taking over my finances. I told her to. And then I'm just like, this was a dumb idea, Kevin. You shouldn't let her take over your finances. Now you don't have as much money to spend on dumb shit you don't need. Now I have a house. And
now I have a house.
It's crazy how that shit happens. Like, I thought it was a bad idea at first. I was like, man, you fucked up giving her most of your money and, like, letting her pay bills and shit with it. Now my Harley's almost paid off. I have a fucking house that I fucking live in and own and pay for. Like, she forced me to grow up. The fact that she's 11 years younger than me cracks me up because she's the one that forced me to grow up.
That's pretty funny. And he doesn't need to say it around her. She already knows it.
Oh, she knows damn good and well. She's like, you're fucked without me. She knows. She knows all too well that I'm completely fucked without her. So, boys, enough about my life and my bad spending habits.
I think that's pretty much what we've got going on these days, though. I mean, I think since our last cast, I've, like, drafted twice, and I'm the only one who's played Magic. So perhaps it's time to answer random questions from the internet.
We may have to get into some Twitter hauling because, I mean, this might have to be a short episode. We've got no Maddie and no real Magic to speak of. I am, again, I may have to get into some Pro Tour coverage this weekend. I haven't watched Pro Tour coverage in a while, but I'm getting the fucking Magic itch again.
Well, when do you start the new job?
Like 3 weeks, something like that.
Yeah,
it's like 3 weeks. November 9th is my first day. My last day at Desert Garage Door is the 5th, and because I took that Friday off, because, like, our pay periods work Thursday to Thursday. So I was like, well, I could work on Friday and then go back to my old job a week later and go get a one-day paycheck, which, I mean, isn't bad. But at the same time, I'm like, it'd be nice to take that little three-day weekend before I start my new job. And then I realized that I'm also taking the week before that, I have to take that Friday off for my physical for my new job. And so I'm going to have 2 3-day weekends in a row, which is pretty fucking sweet. Means nothing to David because this asshole gets them every fucking week. But,
yeah. Fridays? Yeah. I don't work Fridays. Fuck
yeah,
that.
You're a dick.
I don't believe in that shit.
But, yeah, so I got, like, I think 3 weeks left at my job, and then I start with the new one.
Man, I hope they give you a good send-off. You've been there for a long time, right?
Yeah, no shit. They're probably going to be like, oh, well, I mean, my boss already told me. He's like, hey, if it doesn't work out, you know, you can always come knock on my door. I'm like, yeah, I know you're going to miss me. But
you're one of the 5 businesses in town. Don't you worry. I'll hit you back up.
Yeah, I'll hit you back up because I know this shit's comfortable. If for some reason this shit out here falls through, I will come hit you back up. But I feel like it would take a lot for this to not work out for me. It's fucking union. It's fucking starting me out at more money than I have ever made before. In 2 years, it will be a ridiculous amount of more money than I've ever made before, and benefits, and fucking awesome retirement. I'm like, they pretty much have to start waterboarding me at work for me to say, like, no, fuck this, I'm going back to my other job. Like, it would take a lot for this to not pan out. So I was like, hey, don't hold your breath, man, but I'll definitely keep that in mind. But back to what I was saying, I've been getting the itch. I've been wanting to play more Magic. And even just like, I mean, fuck it. I don't get to play Magic as often as I'd like to, but I mean, even I get to scratch that itch by shit like that, like watching, like brewing up decks or fucking, like watching fucking coverage. And I haven't got to do much of that lately, but I'm all stoked. Fucking, I think I'm going to watch Pro Tour this weekend. Now, this is the other question. You guys might know more about this than I do. Where the fuck is the Pro Tour, and what, like, is it going to be
in the central, United States central time zone.
Oh,
that doesn't really matter. So, like, you could watch it during the day.
Right.
But you could also just watch the replays at night while you're getting drunk anyway, which is probably more likely how I'm going to watch it as well.
Which is usually how I have to do it. The problem is that I always find with that is, like, it's sweet when it's in those fucking – those sweet spots in the world that, like, oh, cool, coverage is actually happening, like, at night where I can watch it. Watching it during the day is a pain in the ass for me. And then if I try to – it's like that whole thing, like, when you know, a big fucking – big game in sports is happening, and you're trying to, like, sensory block yourself out from everything. Like, you don't use the internet that day because you don't want to know. Like, I guarantee you, if I'm on Twitter, which I'm on fucking all the time, every fucking day, like, I'd have to be out in Toronto working or something so I didn't have internet. So that, like, I'm not – if I get home and I've been seeing tweets about it all fucking day, and then I'm like, oh, all right, cool, now I'm going to sit through and watch this, I'm not going to have any, like – urge to watch the fucking Pro Tour if, like, I already know what's happening through most of the fucking day. So, I don't know. Hopefully I can kind of not pay attention on Friday and just not pay attention to what's going on. Scroll past those tweets real fast so that I'm not seeing who's won what round, what fucking match, whatever, who's doing well, so that I can actually have some fun with it when I watch it. And then get wrecked and watch Pro Tour.
Amen, sister.
It sucks. The last time David was on coverage, that infamous fucking David broke the scoreboard time, I actually had my wife watching fucking coverage with me and fucking just as excited as it was the goddamn Super Bowl. Like, we're fucking just freaking out. Like, and my wife's all about it. She's like, it's fucking crazy because David was on the screen. So, David, I'm
I don't think she sounds like that, but I like the impression nonetheless.
Yeah, that's what she sounds like.
That was spot on. That's a very husky voice.
Yeah. So we're going to need David. David, we're going to need you to go ahead and get on the Pro Tour. So
I'll do my best.
So
I got about...
Sarah and I are going to need you to get on the Pro Tour. I mean, basically, we're asking this as a favor.
I think it's a little too late for this one, but I'll do my best for the
next. I feel like you're probably not going to be able to make it by this weekend. Next one.
But it's pretty likely.
Yeah. But next one, we're going to need you on it so that I can get her all hype and excited. And shit, by the next – when's the next one? That's going to be after fucking Monroe's born so that, like, she can drink at that point. We could just get wrecked and fucking watch the Pro Tour.
Definitely thought you were talking about your unborn baby at that point. It's like, oh, it's okay. My kid will be of drinking age at that point. It'll be a good old time for her.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of faith in me.
She'll already be born. Yeah, she'll be able to start drinking. Yeah, we're responsible parents. We make sure Sarah doesn't drink while they're in the womb. And then as soon as they come out, fair game. No, that's one thing I'm not a fan of, getting your kids drunk. My dad did that shit to me when I was a kid. Look what happened. Like, my dad's just like, oh, man, you just put some whiskey on their gums and they'll quiet them right down. Fuck you, Dad. Because look at me now. Like, I am, you know, 90% awesome, but I'm also a raging alcoholic.
I was going to say 90% alcohol.
Yeah, I'm also made of alcohol. So.
Well, did the internet ask us any questions this week? I know without Maddie's charge, we don't always have a load of questions. Sometimes they get sent to David, and every once in a while, one ends up in my inbox.
Yeah, I didn't. I totally meant to send out the call, and then I got a bunch of shit going on at work and totally spaced it. But
it's crazy.
I think I've got a couple. I definitely have a couple. Let's see. One of them is: Would you rather have the power to turn stuff into French fries for a year, or have a full set of Expedition lands? And that's from Alan Crawford, AC Eclipse.
I mean, I understand expeditions are really tanking in the toilet these days, but French fries are so readily accessible here in the United States, and I don't need to eat any more of them than I already am. I'm good. I'll take the magic cards over.
I'll take the Expedition lands.
I don't know, the power to turn stuff, it just says stuff. Like, I mean...
See, there, Kevy's like, I'm not even interested in the fries themselves, but...
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
there
I
was like...
exploit the shit out of that power.
Yeah, there was water somewhere we could get our hands on, or something useful, maybe.
Yeah, French fries, man, I feel like I could just, like, take over some kid's lemonade stand and just start turning shit into French fries and just put... cross out lemonade and put French fries. Yeah, I could be an asshole and just start turning shit into French fries and selling them to
people. When life gives you lemonade,
turn it into French fries.
French fries.
Now, Dan, what's
like,
what's
I feel like I feel like I'd be an asshole too because I would just start rolling up on y'all's fucking expedition lands and be all French fries, French fries, French fries.
I didn't get them, so you don't get them either.
Yep. Now nobody gets them, but we got all these French fries.
Yeah. Did you ask me which one I opened?
Yeah. Yeah. Which one did you open?
I opened the blue white the new one, and then. I've opened a stomping ground as well. Yeah, Prairie Stream.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
now,
fun too.
You've got the quality in your hand. Do you like them? What do you think about those things?
I really don't know. Like the thing is that they just don't seem like they're too glossy. They're different from other foils. So they feel like they stand out in a bad way. I don't know whether that makes any sense.
I mean, they definitely stand out because of that kind of unique feeling. I don't know if it's good or bad. Like, I haven't inserted like one into a deck yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Mine are both just sitting out right now, like in sleeves, obviously, but they're not in decks, and it's very they stand out from afar in a good way, and then up close it just seems off. Like, even if you're putting them in an all foil deck, they're not going to look right, is what it seems to me.
Bottom line, collect or no collect on those things?
I wouldn't. I mean, if you really have, like, a really nice cube that you want to, like, pimp out in the best way that you think, you know, that you can, then, yeah, you know, acquire a one of each and throw it in there. But I personally probably am going to move all of mine. I might hold on until the price kind of goes back up eventually because I think that it will. I don't know. I'm definitely not a finance guy, but I personally am not a fan of them, so I would not be looking to collect them myself. If they're financially a good investment, that's another story.
Oh no, we won't talk finance on those. There's plenty of other people to do.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, I personally won't collect them because I just don't think that they look that great. Like, the art is great. It's the foiling process and whatnot that just seems
off. It doesn't quite do it for you.
No, it stands out.
Yeah, you're just calling them ugly is what you're doing.
Yeah.
The foiling process, yes. It's not even ugly. It's just so different from everything else, which, you know, if you're talking about in people terms, that's very racist. But
people,
as far as your cards are concerned, like, you know, people, there, anybody that are, you know, like Nazis about it's got to be all blackboard or it's got to be all old frame or whatever, you know, like, they're going to really probably have an issue with these because they just look so off compared to even other foils.
Hmm.
They have, like, this weird glossy sheen to them that just seems funky.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I guess, kind of like you were saying, if you're doing something in, like a cube setting or something like that and trying to pimp it out, like, you're going to get a lot of those different types of foil.
I mean, some people, they just want the rarest card of any given type.
Right,
it
right.
It doesn't even matter what it looks like. They just want the rarest one. The rarest card you can have.
Right.
And in a lot of instances, that's what these are going to be. So,
right. Makes sense.
You know, I don't know how these would compare, say, to, like, the old Judge foils of the Onslaught fetches, but these might even be more exclusive than those. So, you know, if you're one of those people, yeah, go ahead. Get a one of each for your cube. Outside of that, if you really like them, if you like that they stand out like a sore thumb, you know, great. The art is amazing on them. So I think it just depends on person to person. I personally don't care for them. I would much rather have a normal foil of whatever it is.
Right. That makes sense. And those normal foils are, well, I don't know. Depends. Like, I was going to say, the normal foils will likely be cheaper, but I guess, you know, definitely depends on the land. Like,
I think that they're still cheaper all across the board. But I think that margin is narrowing.
And again, we got to see, like, by the time this set stops being, like, what do they call it? Like, mass or, like, fucking maximum, like, saturation. When this set stops being opened and, like, those Scalding Tarns are out there, you know, for, like, all of the Expedition Scalding Tarns are out there in the fucking, out in the wild. Are there going to be more? There may be more of those than there are fucking pack foils of the fucking Zendikar Scalding Tarns.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know whether these will end up being the most exclusive of each and every land, but
right.
you know, personally, not going to collect them. I'll probably move any of that I get.
What do you think, TSG, on these? Have you pulled any of them yet?
I did. In my very first pre-release, I got an Overgrown Tomb. My batting average has gone down since then, so I'm not exactly sure. I mean, obviously, David opened up 200-something packs if he managed to hit two of those things.
I did not. I opened two boxes and two fat packs.
Well, and good on you, sir.
And you got two of the expeditions?
Two of the expeditions.
Shit, man, you just got to stick with the twos.
I guess so. this is like I meant to pre-order a case, and then by the time I got around to it, like the expeditions had already been leaked, so the prices weren't crazy, and the place I normally pre-order from was sold out, and so I was just like, fuck it. With all my job shit up in the air at that time, I was like, I probably shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Right.
Now I really wish I had.
Yeah, and your second fucking pre-release box, you got the fucking Gideon in. You got to stick with the twos, man.
That's true. I just put everything in twos.
No shit. Start buying two packs at a time. Start drafting two packs at a time. Be like, I'm not buying the third pack. I'm not going to do it.
I'm going to open these two.
I'm going to open these two, and then I call it a day.
You know what? Fuck it. I don't even need three. I'll just beat you with two.
There you go.
The art is less, I guess, aggressive than I thought it was going to be in terms of the styling and the look. And the extra foiling process, while noticeable, it wouldn't be that big of a deal if you're going to run in a cube environment. Overall, I'm not a big fan of, like, the bordering, and I'm so addicted to classic art, it's hard to kind of move me off of that, I think, ultimately, at the end of the day, where my decision kind of falls on those things. So, I mean, I don't hate them like I think a lot of people were expecting to, but I'm not in love with them.
Right. Real quick on that, talking about your love of the classic art and whatnot, well, got a quick update on what's going on with your fucking your cube from fucking Josh? Anything fucking new and exciting happening with that?
So he's linked me to a spreadsheet where I can kind of see part of his progress. I mean, he's got so many cards rendered and then so many cards effectively printed. As of yesterday, I think he's up to like 3/7 of his way through the render process and probably printed out half of those. He's got a goal of how many he wants to do each day in order to be able to kind of hit the target number, which is exciting to me. No complaints really. Like whatever he could.
Every time I see him bring one of those, pop one of those out on Twitter, it's like, fuck, his, like, just the renders, I'm just like, Jesus, those look fucking sweet. This cube is going to be fucking amazing when it's done.
Yeah, it's almost going to look too good, where it's kind of like, damn it, now it's going to be another thing to have to, like, guard and watch, and is very coveted.
Yeah, no shit.
But I guess that's a problem worth having. I can't complain too much.
Yeah, when he does such a good job that you're like, well, I don't know, maybe I'll just bring my expensive cube so that the fucking sweet-ass SVU cube doesn't get tainted. The other thing, too, is, like, do we know, does he still need more foils, and can we get motherfuckers on that?
I believe he is good on foils. We had a couple of very gracious donors send a few hundred each, so
That doesn't mean that, like, if you've got those fucking foils laying around in bulk that you can't ship them to the fucking
guy anyway. This is not the last project Josh will ever work on. This is not the last of any of
this. This guy has spent a lot of his fucking time and effort fucking doing this. So even if he's good on foils to finish the cube, I'm sure it would be awesome for him to have those for future projects. As soon as the cube's done and then TSG's like, oh, shit, we're going to need these cards from the new set for the cube. Things like that, it would definitely be awesome. If you ever plan on being around and playing this cube, if you've got any fucking foils laying around that, just bulk foils that are ripe for being blanked to send to Josh, most definitely hit up Josh at the proxy guy on fucking Twitter and ask him where to put those. I know that there's restrictions on the foils as far as, like, which ones will work. I think it's, like, the fucking, either it's just Avacyn or, like, the Innistrad block or something like that. The foils, they used a different process so they don't blank right.
Yeah, I think it's Avacyn and Newer.
Is it Avacyn and Newer?
Something wow. like that. It's a certain set, and then anything newer right, than right. that one.
Yeah, so I know he was there was issues with those foils, like that it's just a different printing process, so you can't blank them the same way. I think it was with Avacyn, like Avacyn itself, I don't know if blanking it is different or if they've changed anything, but I know that Avacyn itself is like they print it on the foil, so if you try to blank those, they are foil, like instead of having a white cardstock, it's foil. And then everything was like printed onto the foil cardstock. So they definitely don't work. If you get, you know, anything else that he can blank down would be fucking sweet. But yeah, just if you've got those laying around, it would be awesome if you could hit up the proxy guy and fucking let him know, like, hey, I've got, you know, 50 of these fucking things laying around not doing shit. Where can I ship them to kind of contribute to this fucking sweet ass cube that will be making its way around to all the SVU events for you guys to play? So
now, Kelly, are you going to make it to Vegas in December? I can't remember if we've even talked about that.
Vegas in December, probably not. I would love to be able to, but when is it?
It's the weekend of the 12th.
That's going to be real close to fucking Ground Zero.
Okay. I wasn't sure how close.
We're planning on the C-section being scheduled for the 18th. So, you know, we're talking a few days before.
You can't just disappear the weekend before to Vegas.
Baby, I'm going to Vegas.
Good luck walking around. I'll see you later.
Not going to work out well for me. And that'll be, you know, a month into my new job, too. So, like, there'll be no taking time off. Like, I will have accrued enough personal time off to, by that time, to be able to take a day off paid, like the Friday. We're hoping we can maybe schedule the C-section on a weekend, or like on a Friday, so that we could do it on a Friday. I'll take the Friday off and then have the weekend to be able to hang out with her, because, you know, as much as she's definitely going to need help, I don't want to be jeopardizing my new job because I'm taking too much time off, so... Luckily, we have, you know, close friends and family that are here to help her out, you know, after the fact, to be able to do that. But I feel like trying to drop in a, hey, by the way, I'm going to Vegas for a Magic tournament is just not going to work out well for me. So, yeah, I don't see there. Sorry.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, you guys, like, not too long before that, you guys will be around here, so we'll at least get some time in to fucking play some Magic and hang out. Doing that GP Crest thing.
Okay. Any more questions on that hole tonight?
Yeah, I actually, I had a few on here from earlier today, and then when we started the Twitter hole, I asked for questions, and I've got, like, fucking 15.
I have to read one of them.
Do it.
Hi! It's the Twitter hole with made of barbecue ribs marinated in cracking sauce. Would you eat it? I know I would.
It counts as a question.
Would you?
Technically, yes, I'd eat it. God damn right I would. I'd eat the whole thing.
Kristen!
Oh, I'm going directly to dinner after we get off this call. Easily, yes.
Oh, yeah. Good.
We don't.
I was afraid you're gonna say no.
Don't be afraid.
I know I would.
Why? I know I would.
And the one that goes along with that is, what's the latest news on the Heavy Meta costume contest? And is Raven Gumby going as Harry Carey? I didn't think about it, but I might do that.
Do we have a costume contest happening this year?
We someone on this cast, who will remain nameless, tried to drunkenly get one started last year. It didn't work out.
It's me, and I whooped your guys' ass.
You didn't start it. Like, it was, what I'm trying to say is that
I started something. Fucking, then I dropped the ball.
Kind of, that's what
we... But then David's the only one that dressed up, and David fucking killed us.
Right, yeah, if you go back in the archives, it was something along the lines of, like, three of us were lazy and didn't really do anything, and one of us already had a plan.
Literally nothing, and then... Like, mine wasn't even as good as I wanted it to be, and it still just beat the shit out of anything you guys did.
if by beat the shit out of you mean we didn't do anything, then yes.
Yeah, yeah. If you put some guy in the ring and then the other guy starts punching him in the face and the guy does nothing, he's going to get the shit kicked out of him, regardless of what. Well, he didn't get his shit kicked out of him. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, no, he got his shit kicked out of him. Oh, it's like keeping a seven-land hand and just expecting to still play Magic. Oh, you gotta love it. So yeah, I think we all would eat it.
Yep, sounds that way.
Shit. Let's see. We've got quite a few of them. Fucking. What is your Zeki Sage of Stone? Zektown says, "What is your favorite box?" I'm gonna say my wife's. I'm assuming you probably meant fucking.
I'm also gonna say what?
Hey,
well done.
Hey, it can be your favorite all you want.
Yeah,
it's still mine. just like that fucking sweet ass fucking full art lightning bolt picture up on my wall. It could be your favorite all you want, but it's still mine.
You're gonna die, clown.
At least you could break in the middle of the night and steal my fucking the art off my wall. If you are gonna get shot if you break in the middle of the night and try to steal my wife's box. Like it's a given. Like how many times you're gonna get shot? It's gonna depend on how bad you want it. how far you keep going with it. But you know you're gonna get shot at least once. But I mean you can keep trying.
Oh, that's funny.
But I think he means, like, I'm assuming he means fucking boxes of cards, like, fucking, you know.
Maybe. I mean,
it's literally just, what is your favorite box? So
I'm gonna have to say a refrigerator box, because those things are just so fucking fun. I mean, they can be anything.
That's a good answer. See, I was trying to say, like, the Crown Royal handle box, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little more specific than that, I guess. Although refrigerator box is kind of all encompassing.
Yeah, make a fork. You can make a fucking sled.
Anything you want. So I say a refrigerator box. That's my favorite.
I'm still gonna go with my wife's.
Yeah. Did not expect that. See, that's what I love about the Twitter hole. You never know when an answer will go. I'll go the booze route. David will go the imagination route, and then Kevy will go the – well, no, he stayed pretty par for the course. But nonetheless, it was almost different and interesting that time around.
Yeah, that was close. Yeah, close.
We almost deviated a lot there.
Josiah Olson at Joe Josiah. And by the way, I got to give a huge shout-out to this guy because his fucking Twitter picture is the coolest Twitter picture I've ever seen in my life. And I think that my band is going to steal this idea for our fucking band photos. It's just him with a glass of scotch and a shotgun and a bow tie and a sweater sitting in front of a fucking fireplace.
Are you sure it's him, though?
It may or may not be. I don't know. It might not be. But I don't give a shit. This is what we're doing for our band photos, and the picture is fucking awesome. And when I said that picture is awesome, he didn't fucking mention, like, you know, this isn't me, by the way. He's just like, yeah, you're free to use the idea. Have fun with it. But I love it. It's fucking hilarious. Anyway, if you were a professional wrestler, what would be your signature move?
Ooh, that is a good question. It's a good question.
I'm going teabag all the way.
That's not a special move.
Oh, you're goddamn right it is. Because I've been thinking about this. You know how people have like fucking tearaway pants? I'm just gonna have tearaway crotch in my pants. It's just like a fucking Velcro. Pad.
Very similar.
I'm gonna pull that shit away. Like when I got them fucking. Not on the ropes. I might have to get them on the fucking floor, but I have different variations of it. I could, if they're just laying there out, I could do the whole like, oh, what? Like have my hand behind my ear, listen to the crowd. What do you want to see? And everybody's all teabag. And then I'll pull the fucking little strap off that's holding my balls into my pants. And you know, I'll be tasteful. I'm not, it won't have, like, the cock and everything's not going to come out. I'm going to have this thing. It's just going to be a little
I'm a gentleman.
Just a smooth-shaved ball sack coming right at
you. Smooth-shaved ball sack comes dropping out of my fucking drawers. And, you know, I'll keep the cock in and everything. I don't want this, I want this still to be, you know, decent. And then
it's a PG-13 show. Come on.
Just drag balls over.
Whenever I catch on fire, I know to stop, drop, and roll.
That's right.
Screaming like some chick.
God, I love that movie. But I also feel like I could, you know, later on when I get better at wrestling, I could incorporate other movies. I could do that shit off the ropes. And
Wow, that's, you have balls of steel, sir.
Dude, that shit off the ropes. Like, pop that shit, climb up on the ropes while everybody's screaming, this dude's out cold, and fucking jump, and fucking, I gotta land on my fucking feet, and I gotta dip down just right. I gotta have real strong fucking calf muscles and thighs so that I don't, like, buckle under the pressure and just crush my balls and his nose in the same, like, motion. Like, I gotta be able to catch myself and then just dip real good and just be all, oh, there's the bounce. But I feel like the teabag is going to be my signature move.
It's interesting because I feel like you guys are both going to have submission moves as your finisher then, which is kind of surprising. I was not expecting...
It's not so much a submission move. They already have to be out cold to let this happen to them.
Well, that's not really... I mean, I guess... So your signature is after kind of your finisher then. It's like more like your post-match ritual.
Yeah, it's probably more like that. Like, you know, it's like spiking the ball. Like spiking the ball at the 5-yard line.
Now it's spiking the balls.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best I could come up with for a finishing move.
How are you going to grapple them to the ground there, Dave?
Oh, God, I don't even know. I can't come up with, like, a clever name or anything.
I mean, off the top of my head, I assume you've got, like, a crippler crossface kind of maneuver.
I got tons of those, but they're not really mine. I just learned them. I got to come up with some sort of Gumby-based
So you
name.
Do the worm into a nice Crispin Wog.
No, what you got to do, you got to go with the fucking Gumby grapple dinosaur. You got to lock him up and then pull your fucking arm.
There you go. It's the Gumby grapple raptor. That's what I do.
Pull your arms into your t-shirt and then just finish the fight with fucking T-Rex arms and still just do it with your legs.
That's how you know he's gone for the finish.
It's just his arms stuck into it. Oh, shit!
He's signaling for it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh, come on! And then, yeah, you just...
Yeah, how do he signal for it? You just make, like, a fucking pterodactyl noise. Oh, shit!
He's gonna do the Gumby grapple arm! And then you just fucking fire your shit back into your sleeves. And then hope to God that the guy doesn't fucking, I don't know, get a hold of a leg or something, because then you're going to be completely incapacitated. You're just like, oh, shit, now I don't have arms anymore.
I should have thought this through.
But I think that's got to be it. It's kind of like mine again. You wait till the guy's fucking out, and then you put your arms in your shirt. It's all for show. Tristan, what do you got?
I don't know. I'm not big enough to do a power bomb. I'm not athletic enough to really do like a moonsault finish. And I'm not a bitch enough to want to do a submission finish because no one likes a submission finish. You gotta find a good move. I mean, like, I wish I had like a Bradshaw clothesline from hell. I'd like that. That'd be something nice. Maybe a little Farouk Dominator action. Definitely.
I feel like you have to get up on the top ring and just do the cube drop and, you know.
Just fire the cube ball at their head from the top rope. Just be like, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to use his weapon. He's got to get the cube, like, grab it. He's got to have his nice red-headed ring, you know, ringside girl, like, slide the cube into him and pow!
Yeah, just hold on to the fucking handle and just pop him upside the head with it. I like
there
it.
Go.
Fuck a chair. Okay. This is a metal box full of fucking cardboard.
Guess we're a super kick away from being Shawn Michaels at that point. I can't complain too much about that then.
I like it. I think it works. And then, like, your boys that fucking run the cue ball, they're going to get all sorts of screen time and shit. Like,
it's like I have a Money in the Bank match all the time.
Oh, wrestling. So silly. Shit, let's see. Let me look at some other ones, because I know those were the ones I got earlier today, and then now there's, like, a lot more. Let's see. There's some of them that are a little too similar to ones we've answered before, so I don't want to touch on those. Hold on, reading. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll pick a topic.
I'm getting verklempt.
Wow. Some of these are just just way off of the distance. Like, how often do you think about the universe? What fucking friends you hear?
A few times a year, probably. Depends on if there's a meteor shower or a blood moon or some shit going on that makes you really stop and think about it. Look at the skies.
Yeah, I don't often think about the universe. I got too much other shit to do. And if I have time to fucking think about the universe, then I've got time to drink or fucking I've got time to play Magic. So you know, which I still, I'll probably
on the middle stuff. Family crest, probably. like a boat, you know, when you enter people's homes, it's like, welcome to our home, or like there's some cliche shit for it's like, in the Kevin Metal house, it's like, if you've got time to think, you've got time to drink.
Yeah. Exactly. True. I should probably have a sign put on my door that says that. Like,
no solicitors unless
you're British. Yeah, no solicitors without alcohol. And if you've got time to think, you've got time to drink. I like it. We can make it all look all Pottery Barn and shit like that, so my wife won't be upset, but we'll make it happen. Let's see. If you could choose any block of magic to be reprinted, which would you pick? From Joshua Millard, Grapple Grapple, at Grapple Grapple. Mm. Any block of magic, and let's take the finance side out of this, because, I mean, like, that's just going to fucking skew everything.
I got mine. It's Innistrad.
Me too.
Original Zendikar.
Original Zendikar and two Innistrad.
Like, Rise of Eldrazi was awesome, but... Fucking the other two are garbage.
Ah, oh, it's aggressive. I like them all.
I just like it was aggressive. Like that's the most accurate term for fucking Zendikar and World Wake was aggressive. But
that wasn't there.
Rise of Eldrazi by itself was my favorite limited environment. Innistrad was my second favorite limited environment. Innistrad and Dark Ascension, because fucking Avacyn Restored was ugh. But the block as a whole, flavor-wise, was amazing. So both of those combined, I would have to say Innistrad. Yup. Hello? You guys still there?
Hello.
Sorry. Hello.
Still there. Still there.
I was letting you talk while I was peeing.
I believe I answered the question.
You guys go, mouthful of Kung Pao chicken?
I gotta go, yeah, definitely I gotta go Innistrad block, because it was, like, the first block I, like, when I came back, like, in, like, M12, and then it was the first block, and it was, you know, that I experienced. It was right up my alley, too, because I fucking love monsters and shit, so it worked out well for me. And then it just happened to work out that it was a really good fucking block, too. Well, at least Innistrad was a good set. I don't know if it was a great block, because Dark Ascension was okay, and fucking Avacyn Restored sucked a fucking horde of balls, but...
Oh, man.
But a few,
but I definitely still say that, like, even like, yeah, for me, because I wasn't around for some of those, like, from the limited format and some of the, you know, like back in the fucking the old Zendikar block and fucking like some of the other fucking crowd favorites, you know, I my opinion's definitely fucking shortened and biased, but I mean, I would say even if you just got rid of fucking Dark Ascension and Avacyn, well, you can't get rid of Dark Ascension because I like fucking Gravecrawler and Drawl's Messenger too much. But, yeah, even without Avacyn Restored, just those two, like, yeah, that's my favorite block, and I'd rather see that reprinted. So, on to the next one. Let's see. I haven't even got to read some of these yet. Fuck. Some of these are stupid.
Get out of town!
You know, saying.
Not that our audience is not one of the most educated in all of gaming, but we have yet to raise the quality of the Twitter hole.
I think it's probably because they like to listen to our drunk asses. So
exactly. It's a lot of goading of.
Yeah.
Come on, bitches, do it.
Like a,
dance, monkey, dance.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a goal to get some.
Would you? Would you shave Morgan Freeman's balls for an unlimited supply of liquor? Goddamn right I would.
I would do it anyway, just to hear the commentary.
Oh, that's so good.
He's going to have to narrate. That's the stipulation there.
Yeah, make him narrate the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then we'll just use that as our new intro.
Oh, my. Summer of a movie.
Summer of a movie.
Let's see. Oh, you get a playset. This is from Whitey17. You get a playset of the Power 9, but artist Kevy gets to take a tattoo gun and tattoo you. Kevy, what do you draw on each person? Oh, damn it. I thought this was going to be one of those, like, do you do it or not kind of things. Now I got to figure out what I'm going to draw on each person. I'm probably going to just draw a Kevy avatar on each one of you, like fucking, like my version of a stick figure. Done with a tattoo machine is going to be even worse than what you saw, like, before, like, of the MS Paint versions. It's going to be more scraggly and fucked up.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful, and you guys are going to have to deal with it. But at least you get a set of the Power 9. Fuck it. Bruce Lee asks, would you ever consider playing Red Green Aggro Burn in the new standard?
Yes.
I would, because that's probably the only thing I'd be, like, Red Green or Red White Aggro is the only thing I would do anyway. And, I don't know about David, though.
I thought he had said Red White. That's why I was just like, well, I'll just wait until you listed the cast. But apparently I was wrong.
It's Red Green Aggro.
Red Green. I mean, I would consider anything. It's just I have to look at it and see what's there and see if it's, decent. Like, obviously you have the fucking command, but outside of that, I don't really know. I mean, you have, Exquisite Firecraft. You lost, Lightning Strike. You lost Stoke the Flames. So, I don't know. I don't know whether there's enough to actually even qualify as a burn deck. I think maybe the only... I mean, you have the two... The Wild Slash.
You have that garbage one from the new set that I was running in my pre-release deck. What the fuck was it called? Touch of the... Fucking
left. Yeah, you can't. I mean, those are limited cards. Void.
Yeah, that's literally that. But is it? That's like the. Is that what we're doing for lightning bolts now? A fucking 3-mana lightning bolt.
Well, you always have some number of underpowered cards that are just used and limited as removal, and they're just not good enough to see play in standard, which is fine. But for the context of red green burn in standard. I just don't think there's enough there to qualify as a burn deck. Now, if it's a red-green aggro that has burn as its kind of its removal slash reach, then, if it's good enough.
Right.
So let's do one more, and then I think he's got to go.
It's like David knows
me. He's got dinners going on.
I know.
Well, shit, here's a good one to fucking end this with. Jason W. Define each member of Heavy Meta as a deli meat. Who's the salami? I like it.
That's a surprisingly good question.
I like it.
Well, Heavy is obviously the hot Italian salami.
That was the end of the question. It's like, who's the salami? Well, I'm not even close to Italian. I'm a nice stout German sausage.
You're like a brat.
Yeah, basically. I think I'd have to be a brat. I'm going to go, I got to say, Maddie's got to be like a fucking, some sort of like honey-cured ham with all his maple syrup.
Canadian glazed ham, yeah.
Why is he just not Canadian bacon, which is ham?
Because he's not going to be that cooked. Plus, you want to be able to get him at the deli counter.
Yeah, that's true. We're going to have to just go, I think...
Like a honey-glazed ham.
Honey-glazed ham is Maddie because he's just got that fucking mother beaver syrup all over him. All over like the outside.
David's got to be like a lean turkey, or maybe like a lean chicken, actually, because of all the cockfighting.
Yeah, don't be calling him chicken. Yeah.
Nobody calls me chicken.
Calls me chicken.
I guess that makes me roast beef.
Was that a mic drop? That makes me roast beef. Bam!
Boom!
Fuck it, I'm out.
Kosher pastrami, maybe?
Pastrami, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of corned beef and cabbage, but I feel like a lot of the good ones are already spoken
legit,
for here.
But like, TSG's a nice refined meat. Like, he can't just be your basic fucking, you want fucking turkey or you want fucking chicken? What do you want? You're like, you gotta be something a little harder to find. Maybe not at the fucking grocery store deli, but you gotta go down to the fucking, the actual fucking old world deli down in fucking, I don't know, some part of fucking town that we don't have in Ridgecrest. That kind of shit. Like, you gotta be something a little more, refined, I think. What the fuck would that be, though?
A refined deli meat?
A refined, harder to find type of
stuff. Harder to find. Usually the harder to find stuff at a deli is fucking gross.
Yeah.
You're talking like liverwurst and shit, and no one wants that stuff.
Yeah, it's true. I mean.
Olive loaf. Or like a nice, a nice cured prosciutto.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you said it. Like, nobody's going to want that shit, but no, I'm kidding.
I guess that echoes my own life quite enough. I mean, I get, yeah. You know, yeah, that higher-end prosciutto,
you know,
man. That's,
but you know what? Like, there's, like, fucking two dudes in fucking California and one dude in Canada that fucking love you to death. So.
Aw, you know my family so well.
Well, shit, folks. I think
Fuck Maddie for not being here and going to the baseball game instead. That's how I want to end it. I mean, I'm not gonna say fuck my hometown because obviously they made the next round of playoffs and we're about to play the Royals.
Fuck
starting
Maddie.
Saturday.
Yeah, how you think the bird's gonna hold up?
Well, the Royals are one of the dirtiest teams in all of baseball, and when the Jays met up with them during the regular season, there was the Royals are from Kansas City, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You said they're one of the dirtiest teams. They're from Kansas City, man. Jesus Christ, of course they are.
Are what are they, like the Patriots of the MLB?
Ooh, I'm not going to go there. I have no problem.
You can't
deflate baseballs. So.
Yes, that's where I was going.
Take yarn out of them. I don't know. The regular season matchup between the Royals and the Blue Jays was pretty intense. Go back, watch the highlights. There were definitely a lot of pitches thrown at people.
Does that mean you have to watch baseball?
Yeah, I promise I'm not going to do that.
Watch baseball. I know. You guys live in the desert. You guys are more into, like, rattlesnake races or whatever the hell you guys do.
Yeah,
we got roadrunners, all right? They're much faster.
They're just not as entertaining. They're not as, like, vicious on the base pad.
Have you fucked with a roadrunner?
I have not.
They are vicious. Then again, if we have rattlesnake races, you could also see how fast Kevin Metal can run. Because I will run like a Girl Scout.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I mean, hopefully, we got to really get Maddie here next week. Because I will be running, our normal record next week. I will be running a Back to the Future screening because it will be the date in the future that everybody travels to from that film. So call me a nerd if you will, but you got to make sure. Maddie back next week.
Maybe we get Maddie back, and then maybe we'll just check in with you and have you fucking live report what's going on in the movie.
Probably the same thing that happened every other time you watched it, but it's not a bad call.
All right.
But until then.
Well, check it out. Go fuck yourself, San Diego! All right.
I was so calm and reserved for you. So, like, off the cuff, so standard.
I've had nearly as much to drink as I normally do.
Yeah, it's eerily early for us, I think, because you were, like, kind of on time tonight, and we actually got started. And then, obviously, I had fucking nothing to talk about.
Yeah, that helped, too. So, maybe what I'll do is I will sit here and get hammered for the next couple hours, then decide to record a fucking, an outro, and I'll just do all the voices.
gonna.